You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today we've got David Leo back with us, sort of wrapping up our four-part series here today on the sanctuary, on our Tassie Encounters Moments. And we'll have another perspective tomorrow as well, so we'll get somebody in.
Yeah,
not sure who that's going to be as yet, so somebody will come in and provide an interesting overview and perspective on what we've been talking about this week. So, David, we've been looking at the sanctuary. We started it in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned. There were sacrificial processes that God instructed them to follow through. And, of course, then we started to look at the corporate system of worship and the sanctuary as instructed by Moses.
That's right.
That brought all of the Israelites back into that process of worship, which they hadn't had for about 400 years or maybe not 400 years,
yeah,
but probably similar in that sort of order of time frame. So you would like to do, as a wrap-up of your discussion this week, a bit of a walkthrough and an understanding of how this connects with relationship.
Yeah, that's right. So if you listen to episode one this week, we talked about how Jesus said, John 17, verse 3, to know God, eternal life is to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Also said that Jesus said in John 14, 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He says in John 8, verse 36, that you shall know the truth,
and the truth shall set you free.
So there's something about knowing Jesus that sets us free. I also said that the sanctuary was a tangible practice that the people of Israel got to participate in. In order to understand the rescue plan or the plan of salvation. And so when we follow through the sanctuary, you know, there's this Bible verse. King James says, Psalms 77, verse 13, that thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. My Bible, ESV version, interprets your way, O Lord, is holy. So in the Hebrew language, holy and sanctuary is nearly synonymous. So that's a good thing to keep in mind, you know, because just the sound of the word sanctuary, it sounds like something holy, you know?
Well, it also sounds like a place of refuge as well.
Oh, wow, interesting.
And,
that's another meaning of the word sanctuary, right? To find refuge,
sanctuary state in the United States.
Right.
It's a place you can go to get protection from.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And so to me, it sort of symbolizes the fact that when we go to the sanctuary and worship, God is providing a refuge.
Yeah.
It's a rescue story.
Wow. That's interesting. Mm. But yeah, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says the way is found in the sanctuary. This is David's psalm. And David loved to worship at the temple, right?
Mm.
And so keeping our mind focused on the temple, we come to understand the way that God is thinking. Now, hopefully I don't lose anybody here. I'm going to try and, imagine you're one of the people that participate on this every day. If you weren't at the temple, you were camping in one of the tents that was 2 kilometers away, but every day you saw that smoke. You knew what was going on at the sanctuary because you understood it. You know, mum and dad had taught you what it is. You've been with mum and dad to take you've been with the leaders. When they do it as a clan, when they do it as a tribe. And you've understood the system. And every day this happens, but also on a yearly basis, they have things called festival days. I'm not going to get into it now. I'll talk about it in a future series. But when you follow the sanctuary, I want you to imagine now that Jesus is involved. You go to the outer perimeter, you enter
the door.
And at the door, the priest is going to meet you there. The first thing that you see is an altar where the sacrifice gets burnt, right? That's symbolic of Jesus being the sacrifice. So not only is Jesus the sacrifice that's brought to the sanctuary, It's also the sacrifice. Now, there's water involved, right? Romans 6 tells us that baptism is symbolic of Jesus dying and resurrecting, right? And so there's also a water just outside the tent, the tent of meeting. The priest goes in, washes his hands, Jesus' resurrection, and the holy place, there's some furniture in there. The furniture is on the right. Once you enter the tent, on your right side is a table with stacks of bread. I think there's 12 of them.
They call it the showbread.
The showbread, right? On the left is a lampstand with 7 candlesticks. Mm-hmm. This provides light in the holy place. And in the, just the, at the curtain that separates the other room, there's an altar of incense, which has got different herbs and spices in it. It got a smell and smoke goes up and it represents, prayers, right? Symbolic in all these things are, the bread of life.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Yeah, that's right. Said, I'm the light of the world.
Yes,
right?
The candlesticks. The candlesticks, yeah.
And the incense of prayer, Revelation refers to that, the altar of incense is representative of prayer. And right there and then is the fundamentals of a healthy relationship, right? You have to receive from the bread, right? So you're listening and receiving from the other. You're also providing.
Giving light.
Giving light. And you're also talking about this person.
Communicating.
Even when they're not around. Right. And it's a, you know, that's what we'll call, sharing. Right.
Yeah.
So that those three things are the basics of relationship.
So now, receiving, giving, and sharing.
Correct. Right. So what our understanding, now that we're following through the sanctuary, the blueprints, right? What Jesus did. So we've already followed that Jesus was sacrificed on the altar, resurrected at the, the water represents
the baptism into the tomb and being resurrected.
Yes. And the holy place then, well, what does that represent? Right. This is a ministry that Jesus said he was going to do for, he's told the apostles that where I go, I'm going to be there's going to be another giving you gifts. Right. So as the apostles needed, and we, as any follower of Jesus Christ, as we need power from above, we ask for it, right? And that ministry or that work that's done in the holy place by the priests back in the day, they were ministering on behalf of the people in the holy place, right? Jesus does the same thing, ministering on our behalf. So he speaks on our behalf. If we're trying to quit smoking and, Tuesday morning, we're saying, oh, Lord, I'm about to have another smoke. Can you give me the power that I need? From the holy place ministry, that power is provided. You know, it's a, an intervention of, I am now equipping the disciples, turn from disciples to apostles, which means that he was no longer just, spoon feeding them. They had to go out on their own and start doing things. Now, there's a movie that just recently came out that the Seventh-day Adventist Church released. One that we're very, very proud of. It's called The Hopeful. And our pioneers, and William Miller, he got wired into this prophecy and said, hey, Jesus is coming back in this particular time, because his interpretation of understanding the prophecy was right on the dot, because there's one prophecy that said when the Messiah was coming, right? So imagine you're following the sanctuary when the Messiah is coming. That's Jesus Christ on the cross when he resurrects. All that messianic prophecy in Daniel shared that. But then there's another prophecy that says, oh, what's this other one? It's longer than the messianic prophecy. It goes further down the line. Well, this is our understanding. In the Israelite, in the sanctuary services, only once a year, the high priest went into the most holy place. Most holy place had this box called the Ark of the Tabernacle. Inside the box is the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses. And also the rod of Aaron was inside there as well. So it's a very, very special place. And on that one day, it's called the Day of
Atonement.
Atonement. Right. And on that day, have we got time to read? Leviticus 16 actually talks about how on that particular day, everyone in the camp are to afflict their souls, or they're meant to search deep within the things that they can give up to Christ. Because on that day, the high priest goes in, and there's a rabbinical, mythical legend, right, that says that some of them had to tie a rope on their ankle, you know, because when they go in and there was no forgiveness for sin, they die there on the spot and they'll pull them out by the rope. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but the whole thing, the whole time, it rests on, you know, whether this is going to happen or not. And then on that Day of Atonement, when everyone's afflicting their souls, this happens once a year, right? So everyone's participating. When the priest comes out and everyone sees them, the horns are blowing and the whole camp celebrates that he's come back out. The Lord has forgiven us. The Lord still loves us. Massive celebration. That's the last thing that's meant to happen. After Jesus is in the most holy place, when he returns, he comes out as a king, right? And so the sanctuary spells that all out. And so for the next few episodes, I'm going to hopefully get more into detail, and it'll be something that you're going to find really fascinating.
The sanctuary just is amazing symbolism towards what Incredible. Christ was going to do.
Yeah.
And is doing now.
Amen.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, David. In the coming weeks, we will continue digging into this, the sanctuary in more detail, and the festivals as well. Remember, our book offer is coming up, and we had a question for you. The last opportunity to text us in your answer to this question: what makes you feel safe and secure in a relationship? We would love to hear from you. So text us in on 0488 880 891. What makes you feel safe and secure in a relationship?
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer this week is An Endless Falling in Love: What Eternal Life Means to You Now by Ty Gibson. Ty Gibson has done it again, a rare blend of smart and heart. An Endless Falling in Love is both an intellectual and an emotional journey into the character of God and the gift of eternity. Beyond the cliches about harps, clouds, gold streets and gates of pearl, Gibson shows eternal life can be an ever-deepening freefall into friendship, love with God. Against this backdrop, the doctrines of the Trinity, creation, the fall, the incarnation, the cross, and other crucial biblical truths take on a beauty and lushness that will forever alter your views about salvation. So that's our book offer for this week. Text in TEM03 to 0488 880 891 to claim a copy of that book, and I'd highly recommend you do that. So that's TEM03 0488 880 891. Thank you, David, for this series. I look forward to the coming programs where we talk more about the sanctuary. This is Forgiven Forever by Glenn Packham. May you encounter Jesus more.
Once we were lost and so far away, wandering in darkness, covered in shame without you. Without you. Now we've been found by a love that is stronger. No longer blind, we can see. All along it was you. It was you. It was you.